right, so Federal Reserve Chair Kevin Warsh followed the script, essentially, on what he was going to do with the benchmark, and he decided to keep those interest rates steady. No drop, no rise, although the inflationary number is rising. And what does that signal? Is that an indicator on who Kevin Warsh is or how he's going to look at this? Or are there still moves to be made? Patrick Anderson's the principal and CEO of the Anderson Economic Group and joins us this morning. Patrick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Chris.
What did you make of that decision? I mean, it did not seem surprising based on what we've seen with that inflation number the last couple of months.
I welcomed not only the decision by the Federal Open Market Committee, but also the statement by the new chair and the fact that it was unanimous. All of this goes to underline what I was hoping would happen and appears to have happened. We have a good person now running the Fed, a person that's firmly committed to price stability, firmly committed to an independent Fed. And they made the only decision they could with the data, but they did it in, let me say, high style for the Fed, which is saying it directly, saying it with near unanimity, and saying it in a way that was unambiguous. The Fed seems to be back in business of trying to hold the line on inflation. As much pressure as this Federal Reserve chairman has gotten and the past one's gotten about to immediately cutting rates, they seem on mission. And they seem united on it, so I welcome what they did.
There didn't seem to be any sort of dissenting opinions on federal funds targeting that 3.5%, 3.75%. But some of the inclinations on what I've read shows that there could be a hike later this year.
There could be. And if we continue to have oil prices go up, if we continue to have inflation creeping up, then the general Fed policy should be to raise rates later this year. But I'm hopeful we don't. I mean, we have a memorandum of understanding and with the Iran war, that's not the end of the war, but it is a memorandum of understanding. So it's progress, much less uncertainty. Oil prices are down. There's a lot of improvement in terms of the geopolitical uncertainty, economic uncertainty. And the U.S. economy is fundamentally strong, so I think there's a good chance that we'll have the economy get better, inflationary pressures drop, and we won't need an increase, or maybe we need just a small one.
One of the things that I was that did stick out to me was his usage of the term price stability. And he has been pretty bullish on this idea of cutting rates, but that's a bit of a different approach than what I was expecting to hear from him.
I thought he did that in, as I said, high style, and you rarely hear the word style and Federal Reserve.
Right, those usually don't go hand in hand.
Yeah, that's right. But if you are a central banker, that was a tour de force performance. In letting people know you meant price stability, you meant every word of it, you meant price, you meant stability, you meant price stability. He did a great job at that. And I'll compliment the Federal Reserve Open Market Committee. We have at least two other people from Michigan on that committee, mm-hmm. By the way, that were playing a role. So it's definitely the Fed doing their job. I know that meant that some of the Wall Street folks that wanted a hint of a rate cut are disappointed, but we have a lot more resting on whether the United States currency is sound and whether we can keep inflation under control than we have about short-term rate cuts.
You mentioned oil prices. That's obviously playing a big role here. I'm curious to know, because things are not like flipping a switch. It's not like all of a sudden, because there's a memorandum of understanding between the United States and Iran, that prices are going to come down. But people have been feeling a lot of downward pressure, especially as that inflationary number has ticked up slightly. Where do you think the relief comes at this point as we sit here in mid-June?
And Chris, you're right. If you look at oil, just signing a memorandum of understanding doesn't fill up all the coffers that have been heavily drained, but it pretty much is moving tankers right away. And that is a more crisis situation in some parts of Europe and Asia. The United States, to our great success here, I mean, it's been a real success for the United States to improve its own energy situation through fracking, through expansion of exploration for oil here. So the U.S. has been heavily insulated, but not completely insulated from this. And it's not just the price of gas. Fertilizer, particularly for Michigan's agriculture industry, very important. Diesel fuel goes into almost everything. And for those that are heating their homes or maybe driving an electric car, guess what? Fossil fuels are important for that too. Natural gas prices. So all those things have been affected. They've been pushing up prices and they've been unsettling consumers and taking away some of American paychecks and crimping budgets. So it was definitely something that affected us. And a memorandum of understanding, a cessation of hostilities,
right,
letting tankers go. I think all that is going to be positive, just as the president, the vice president, and every economist has said.
Patrick Anderson, appreciate your time as always. Thank you. We'll take a break. Would you do this? It's coming up.